This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, and the Digital Transformation Unit.
And welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We got a couple of things that are perplexing to me to talk about today. We can also get into some other stuff that you might want to get into, whatever within the realm of sanity that floats your boat there, we can talk about. But before we do any of that, I got to start off and I think in 2022, I'm going to be more consistent with this. Like, I'll start the week off with my list of personal grievances about things that impact me personally that don't necessarily impact a broader cross-section of the country. But I feel like it's important for me to say so that people understand, like, what is irritating me. So the first thing I want to say is to whoever's running the Department of Environmental Health, there's a deep, deep disconnect with who's picking up the trash. Now, the former Minnesota administration had some strengths and a whole lot of weaknesses. And one of the strengths was the trash got picked up on time. Now, I noticed that every time there's an election, because, you know, giving out garbage collection contracts, I don't know the politics, the bureaucracy behind it. I just know I want my trash picked up. But about 6 to 9 months into the former administration, I had issues with my trash being picked up on time. And then I guess they squared away whatever was going on with the garbage collection contracts. As I understand it, it's not a government-run operation on New Providence, per se. They're subcontracted out to different people. And after about 9 months into the last administration, the trash got picked up like clockwork, twice a week, right? I've noticed that in the first 3 months of this administration, the trash collection was going pretty good, started to get a bit wonky in December in my area, because I'm speaking to me and my personal grievances. And after the beginning of the year, and I don't know what this has to do with, like, I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that they're saying, oh, they have to figure out how to pay all these contracts. I don't know what that has to do with the garbage people or if it's tied to it. Maybe someone can help me with that. But after the beginning of the year, the trash collection got abysmal. All right. Now, my trash hasn't been picked up in, I'd say, about 10 days. Right. And we generate quite a bit of trash. Right. Because, you know, we got kids, etc. So does my neighborhood. And I imagine most people out there. So, Department of Environmental Health, if that's who's overseeing the trash collection, you're failing, particularly in the Village Road area. Now, I don't speak for all Village Road residents. I know you started digging up the road, which means I have questions about how frequently I should wash my car on the outside anyway, but I'm still going to do it until it all turns to dust, which a lot of it is now. I don't speak for everyone in the Village Road area, but I speak for those in my immediate 1, 2, 3 corner proximity, right? You're not picking up the trash properly. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what perhaps the conventional wisdom is. This is an area with a high concentration of white people, mulattoes, those of the lighter skin persuasion. And you imagine that we possess some sort of light skin, Kunky Joe magic that repels vermin such as rats and raccoons, etc. I assure you that I and those who live around me don't have access to this white magic that keeps rats and other vermin away. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever encountered a raccoon. Yes? Rats are a problem. Raccoons are a menace. Okay? A raccoon is like a rat on HGH, anabolic steroids, and a serious resistance training program, right? I saw a raccoon. I'm not lying to you. I know sometimes I see things that the mainstream public might not see, like blue tail rats that are the size of a small child or a pretty good sized grouper. In the Fox Hill area, I haven't seen them break out past that, the center of that location. But if you've ever seen a raccoon, you understand the ball game's different, right? And so trash attracts not only rats, but raccoons. Raccoons are so dangerous that the rats run away when the raccoons get into the trash, okay? So one day, this was about 5 years, I mean, I first moved into my house, probably about 6, 7 years ago. And I'm not lying to you, okay? I saw a raccoon grab a trash bag and throw it over the wall. All right? I am not lying. I saw this. I was sober as a judge. It was the evening. My mind wasn't playing tricks on me. A raccoon can pick up an average-sized trash bag and throw it over a wall. I watched a raccoon, because they got like opposable thumbie claw things. I'm surprised they haven't built the city yet. I watched the raccoon grab a trash bag and throw it over the wall. I'm not trying to encounter any more raccoons, because when I start shooting them, you guys are going to say, oh, McCartney's a menace. He's out here killing raccoons. Let's call the animal rights advocates. Let's call firearms control. He's going crazy. So I'm trying to prevent all that, right? There's a pretty good-sized colony of rats, probably about less than a quarter mile away. I hear them rustling. I hear the building at night, right? They're forming a hive mind. It's going to be something interesting in a few months. And I'm trying to do everything in my power not to have that colony of rats migrate toward my yard, okay? So if you could pick up the trash in the Village Road area, I don't know what your dispute is. I don't know why they don't come. They used to come, as I said, twice a week. It seems when governments change, these garbage contracts apparently are extraordinarily lucrative or like candy to subcontractors, but you're not picking up the trash properly, all right? And it's going to be a situation in the Village Road area. I can't speak to every area, but it's going to be a situation. On top of that, let me say this. The verges, all right, and the sidewalks, they look terrible, okay? The roundabout out here by Thompson Boulevard in the intersection of, University Drive, Poinciana Avenue, and Nassau Street. Firstly, there's a homeless lady living at the roundabout. I don't know if anyone has informed any of you of this. She seems as if she has a mental issue. I'm not sure, right? But there's a homeless lady living at the roundabout at Poinciana Drive and Nassau Street and University Drive. And it's overgrown. There's trash in it on a regular basis, and it looks awful. And I drive around New Providence, and again, I don't know exactly what's going on with beaches and parks. I hear you. You got to find $18 million. Can the sidewalks be clean? Can the roundabouts be clean? Can the verges be clean? Can you pick up the trash before we have a rodent uprising in New Providence? pick up the trash in the Village Road area. I don't know who else has a problem. I have a very, very specific issue. I called the Department of Environmental Health. In fact, I'm going to call them right now. Here's what happens when you call the Department of Environmental Health, as I've been calling them all morning. Maybe I don't have the magic number. Let's see what happens when you call the Department of Environmental Health. Okay, that's what happens when you call the Department of Environmental Health. Nobody answers. I've been calling them all morning, right? I figured maybe the breakfast lady was late, didn't have everything set up. That might be it. I don't know. Is no one seriously at the Department of Environmental Health to answer the phone to address something as simple as picking up the trash? We walk around here with masks outdoors and sanitize every time we go into a store, right? And we social distance, and the kids wear masks like we're in some sort of crazy dystopian movie where the Andromeda strain has been released. But you're telling me we go through all that, but you can't pick up the trash? You can't. They said my mic was loud. I'm so sorry. Is my mic hot? I apologize, because it does that when my voice gets louder. You seriously can't answer the phone at the Department of Environmental Health? You can't keep verges clean. You can't keep sidewalks and roundabouts clean. Seriously? Seriously, there's no one there to answer a phone at a government department if I have a serious problem like the trash is piling up? Right? We're tracking COVID numbers meticulously. And every time we see a spike or another reported death, there's a serious... But in terms of trash piling up around neighborhoods, that's something that's just going to what? Take care of itself. So please, since you want to answer the phone of the Department of Environmental Health, since I'm not sure what it is that Von Miller does, you can feel free to call there. I'll give you the numbers, right? Please organize the Department of Environmental Health Services so that trash is picked up. And for the love of God, give someone the job of answering the phone at the Department of Environmental Health. That'd be great. That's my first grievance. But we'll take this phone call, because I got some other stuff I want to talk about.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, Mr. McCartney. This is, you were trying to reach environmental health.
Yes.
The number you've been dialing, what number? Because I just dialed them while she was dialing, and they answer on one, two ring.
Really? Let me see
yes.
here. This number, number is... Department of Environmental Health, Government Offices in Nassau, 323-2295.
Okay, this is the number. They'll answer it right away.
Sure.
322-8037. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just spoke with them, and I tell them you're trying to reach them, but they no one answers.
And they're going to see that my trash gets collected.
Right.
All right.
Pick it up right away, and you just tell them what it is, and they'll put you to that department.
I'm going to call them on the break. So why is that the secret number? How'd you get that?
No, I have that is in the thingum. That is in the directory.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, according to the internet, the number is 323-2295.
And that's on Bahamas Local?
No, this is the actual government website for the Department of Environmental Health.
No, they should have the other number. But if you look up maybe on Bahamas Local too, you'll see it's 322-8037.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm going to call during the break. I appreciate that.
Yes. No problem there.
Excellent. See what happens when we work together? Maybe I'll get some solution. All right? If we could figure out the phone problem, then maybe we could figure out the trash pickup problem. I got a serious issue with this. All right? I'm willing to put up with a lot, but you got to get the trash picked up. All right? I don't want to be living in a situation where I got to pay an exterminator again to come and try to keep rats out of my yard. I certainly don't want to encounter raccoons. And I'm not an animal handler. Maybe like Scott Johnson or one of these guys who's from BNT could answer this. But raccoons don't seem very afraid of people, from my experience. All right? And I don't want to have to slaughter raccoons. But I will, if I have to. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. We can do the phone call. It's fine. Maybe this is someone from Environmental Health. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
No, I'm not from Environmental. I'm the lady that just called.
Oh, okay.
Minutes ago.
Okay, great.
And I heard you say something about, you know, with the rats. But 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I called them telling about where I'm staying is a vacant lot, and I have a lot of rats and mosquitoes. So they took the information, and would you believe, last week they came and they sprayed my whole yard, put rat poison all around the yard, so you can do that, and they will do that for you.
Environmental Health did this?
Yes.
For you? So, who are you? I need to come talk to you. You sound like you got the hookup.
Well, that's my gift from God, the phone.
Wow.
I can get it and get it done.
All right. I'm going to call him. I'm going to let him know all that.
I'll leave my number if you want me.
Yeah, leave it with the producer. Put her on hold. Take her number. I appreciate it. I got to talk to her. I thought I had the magic going on. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? No more call? All right, fine. No problem. This says the trash got picked up and the dump didn't burn. Now, someone says the app is breaking up. I don't know. Yeah, they're saying the internet's wonky. I'm sorry. I don't know how to deal with that. Maybe the mic's too high. I don't know. Ali, check the mic level. Maybe it's too hot. Please. This says, one, it's a known fact. The PLP government never cleaned as good as the FNM. Remember Rollins taking the then minister, Mr. Davis, to task over how dirty the airport road was, and Mr. Davis said he was too busy for that? I don't remember that. But the roads look bad. It says, I guess your area voted FNM. I'm on the edge of St. Anne's. So, yeah, it's an FNM constituency, but what does that mean? Does that mean I don't pay taxes? Let me know if that's what happens and I'm just not in the loop. Does that mean my tax dollars don't go toward the consolidated fund where all the magic happens, like Michael Akita said? And I don't deserve to have my trash picked up because it's an FNM area? Because that's patently stupid. And in fact, Village Road intersects where Village Road, it cuts into the constituency. So on one side of the road is Freetown, which is a PLP constituency. And on the other side of the road is St. Anne's, all right, which is an FNM constituency. I just want the trash picked up. I noticed that this always becomes an issue within the first 6 to 9 months of the shifting of political administrations. And it makes no sense to me. Just pick the trash up. Says, man, Juan, you have me in stitches. The raccoon threw the bag over the wall. Says, I believe you, bro. I know. I'm telling you this happened. And threw the bag over the wall and looked at me like, what? Were you going to eat the trash? Didn't think so. Good afternoon, Juan McCartney. I haven't laughed this hard in a while. The story with the raccoon throwing a bag over the wall was hilarious. By the way, I do remember your story about the blue tail rat. It says, I agree with you. I could almost set my clock by the garbage truck early morning pickup in my area, and everyone knew exactly which night to put out their garbage. It says, these departments are too slack. If you don't answer the phone, you should be fired. It says, one, in most of these government places, it is time for government people to get back to work. This 3 hours to work ain't working. The COVID excuses have to stop. It says, one, I might not always agree with you and Dwight in the morning, but I respect you guys. Y'all are unbiased, cannot be bought, unlike some others, and do your job well. Keep up the good work. Guardian executives need to give you guys a good raise. It says, no, the raccoons are not afraid, not in the least, and there should be a recourse system for the public when agencies don't do their jobs and cost us money. They should reimburse for your exterminator, the new tires from all the potholes, and the new electronics when BPL has a surge, but that won't happen. And unfortunately, everyone knows constituencies and even polling divisions suffer when they didn't vote the right way. It says, good afternoon. Every time you speak kind of loud, you cut out. Okay, that may be just logistics issues with the mic. I'll ask Wally to
take a look at it. It says, great show as usual, 1,000 lights off on the airport road last night. It says, Juan, I was on your side until you say your raccoon has bionics or possibly on steroids and pick up the trash and then threw it over the wall. I'm telling you. It says, my fiance works there. I'll get you straight. I'll just tell the number one talk show host is freaking itself out because y'all ain't doing y'all job. So you should be straight soon. I tell you, seeing the blue rat again. No, I'm not. I haven't seen the blue rat in a long time. I left that back in Fox Hill South. It says, good afternoon. Also, Frank Watson Boulevard, old car, heater, and house items. The grass is about 6 feet tall. Listen, I know. Okay, I know. These contracts, I guess, are how you reward political supporters. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if there's different, like, competing companies that have dump trucks. I have no idea how it works. I kind of don't care how it works. The trash collection should remain consistent no matter who's in power. Hey, Juan, thank you for doing this on air. Do this for the other government ministries, too. They don't answer their phone, and when they do, they're not as that woman who just called you. Well, I'm going to call the Department of Environmental Health right on the break. We got a phone call. Let's do that. Good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. No? We got a call or not? No? Okay, they're gone. Next person's gone. Are they there? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello?
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 Hi, Mr. Cotney. This is Director McKenzie calling from Environmental Health. I understand that you had some concerns and that you weren't getting through to the office.
Yes, so grateful that you could call me. Okay, so I have two concerns. The first one is the trash pickup in the Village Road main area.
Okay, so this is commercial pickup then?
I have no idea how that works. I live at a private residence. I have never paid for trash pickup before. It always just gets picked up.
Okay, so your concern was with the collection on Village Road proper?
Correct. About since the second, after the holidays in January, the trash mm-hmm. collection has been sporadic. It's been about mm-hmm. 10 days since my trash got picked up, and I need it picked up because my second concern is that there's starting to be more rats, I've noticed, in the Village Road area, particularly like in the Woodlawn area in the back, kind of the side of Bahamas National Trust, and it's a problem. And my next concern is raccoons are going to soon come. And okay. I'm sure you've had experience with raccoons. They're not pleasant creatures.
A little while back.
Right.
Okay.
Does that work? How does that work? Is there a section? Is it one government agency? Is it just my guys aren't doing it? Do you know who does?
Well, it all depends. I'd have to check the records, but I can't speak directly off Village Road. But normally after Christmas, we tend to have a little delay. And so I would have thought that we had it sorted out by now.
Why do you think that is? Why is there a delay after Christmas? Why is that?
I think it's more to do with people not showing up.
They just don't show up for work.
Plus the fact that there's always going to be a larger volume of waste that's generated. Mm-hmm. And so collection tends to be slower because your volume has gone up. So you're going to need more time and more trips.
I hear that. It's February, though.
Yeah, but you're saying that this happened recently. So I'm not thinking it's last week.
Mm-hmm.
You just had an issue last week. But I'm going to check it, and we'll see what the problem is. Now, if you're talking about commercial pickup, that's not me at all. Village Road proper tents don't only have commercial pickup.
No, I'm through the side streets.
Ah.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to check that because that might... Which part of it? Which constituency is it?
It's in St. Anne's. It's right around, say, like right in front of like Blair on Village Road.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to check it and see why you've had an issue and if that issue is a change in date or a non-collection issue. And in either event, it will be corrected. I don't know why you're not getting through to the office, but the number is 302-5150.
Oh, there's another number.
I have an emergency number, which I can't recall right off the top of my head.
Okay. While I have you on the phone, and this probably isn't you, the verges around Nassau, the roundabouts, they're starting to overgrow, and they don't look good, but I don't know that that's your thing.
No, sir. It's not me, but it has been noted, and I will pass it on as well. It's not really us.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Please check on the Village Road area for me. I would appreciate so much, Ms. McKenzie.
If you see no improvement today is Monday. If you see no improvement by Wednesday afternoon, feel free to call me back.
Okay. Absolutely, I will. Thank you so much for responding to my plea.
No problem, sir.
Okay. Take care.
You have a pleasant day.
Okay. Good. All right. So my trash situation is going to be fixed. So we'll move on until Wednesday. But they should be picking up the trash everywhere. It shouldn't be inconsistent. We haven't even started to get into what I wanted to get into. Anyway, let's take a break, and we'll be back on the other side. We'll talk about some other things.
One way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Happy anniversary, my gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
The Water and Sewage Corporation extends an invitation to its valued customers with past due balances to feel free to visit their offices at the Mall of Marathon and the head office on University Boulevard to speak with a customer representative who will be happy to assist with your account concerns.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja Sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I heard your messages about the mic cutting in and out. I don't know why that is. They say it's just online, but it's not so on the radio. Maybe I just need to sit a little farther away from the mic in order to not have it get hot when my voice goes up. But when I'm listening to it in my headphones, it's perfectly fine. So I'm not sure what the issue is with that. All right, so we didn't get into the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to get into this because this is also outrageous. As angry as I was about the trash, right, this is probably orders of magnitude worse in terms of I don't understand how government spends this money or feels justified in spending our tax dollars in this particular way. And I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. Let's take the phone call first. Kind of just run through the texts and calls about this topic. We don't have any more calls? No problem. If you want to call 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. All right. So that's fine. Let's do the phone call, and then we'll move on to the topic I want to talk about. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. May I speak to Vaughn McCartney, please?
This is Juan.
Hello.
Hi, this is Juan. You're on air.
This is Vaughn?
Yes.
I'm Vaughn. I have the same complaint as you have. In Regency Park.
Regency Park? Trash collection sporadic?
Our garbage has been collected for the last 10 to 12 days.
Wow. Okay. Regency Park. I'm going to make a note of that.
Same problem as you and not too far from your Village Road area.
Yeah, Regency Park. Okay. And it usually was collected on time in a timely fashion? Hello?
Yes. Always collected on time.
Right. Absolutely.
They used to come twice a week.
Absolutely.
They came on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
Me too. Right. Mine was Thursday and Sunday.
And I haven't seen them at all last week.
Okay. Regency Park. I'm going to make a note of that and let the Department of Environmental Health know.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Not a problem whatsoever.
Okay.
We're going to work this out together. Just want trash collection. You know, when people talked about the Bahamas during the last administration, and they go, you know, in Nassau, all y'all do is murder people and drive bad, right? And while out. I'd be like, that's all true that happens. But the trash gets picked up on time, right? The dump no longer burns. That we're moving steadily toward a more civilized place. But I can't even say that now, that the trash gets picked up on time. And poor Melanie McKenzie, she's got a go sort it out. I'm sure she has things to do. This says, one, if the Ministry of Environmental Health Services is putting down rat poison without notifying the neighbors, they should be fired. Rat poison kills cats if they get it on their paws. I got a lot of cats in my neighborhood, too, which maybe they've kept the rat colony at bay. I don't know what goes on at night while I'm sleeping between those species. I figure that may be something. Let's do a phone call. That's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney, how are you today, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I apologize that the garbage hasn't been picked up on time as yet, but, you know, this happens every time government changes, because what happened is now the old contracts have expired, and now they're in the transition of bringing those new contractors in. Because if you remember, during the Christie administration, when Christie had lost the government, trash was in pickup for almost a month. I had that experience, so it happens all the time, but we just have to find a better way to transition the garbage truck drivers.
But how many companies are there?
Garbage will be picked up today, guarantee you that.
How many? Listen, a garbage truck has to cost what? $90,000,
$100,000? You talking about used garbage truck?
It
costs almost $300,000 or more.
So how come we got so many companies with garbage trucks? What's happening? I don't get it.
Well, garbage trucks is a lucrative business, okay? And what happened is the government took it out of the monopoly of just one company owning all the garbage trucks and gave behemoths a chance so they could benefit also, okay?
I got no problem with that, but they got to live up to the contract.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's all I'm asking is live up to your contract.
Yes, yes, sir.
All right.
But like I say, your garbage will be picked up in a short space of time.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
All right. Thanks. And listen. I know a lot of you may not commit to this. I'll pay to have my trash picked up. Right? I'll pay a fee to water and sewage or whoever does it or environmental health. I'll pay. This says, hello, how are you? What is the capital of Grand Bahama? I want to know, please. All my life I was taught Freeport, but I heard it's West End. I have no idea. That's a good question. The capital of Grand Bahama. Is that a thing? I know Freeport's a city in Grand Bahama. I don't know. Good question. Says McCartney, I can't complain. I live in Millennium Gardens. My garbage is picked up 2 times a week. I like that. I treat my collectors good. I gave them free Gatorade most times. I'll hook up the garbage collector too, you know. Like if I have some cash on me, or if I have like some extra stuff I want them to throw away, I'll give them a couple extra dollars. Although I'll say this, about 2 years ago, I gave the one guy, the youngest guy, $20 when they came to pick up my trash, you know, because it'd been a while since I had been there when they actually picked the trash up. And the guy was like looking at me strange, you know, and I was like, what? It's $20. And he's like, well, you know, it's 4 big man on the truck. And $20 only goes so far. And I was like, yeah, but you got to go hit up the next dude to go get the next $20. I can't supply all the beers for everybody on the truck. I don't know how much beers y'all drink. It's 3 for 7 at least. What is that? Times 4? That's $28. That's at least $30. It says, Juan, we're already paying for that service through taxes. Hey, Juan, West End is Grand Bahama's capital, not Freeport. Okay, fair enough. I don't know. It says, Juan, this K Forbes thing is ridiculous. Who in government negotiates these contracts? I can talk about that right on the other side of the break, is what I wanted to talk about. It says, we have to find better boards or something. I want to talk about that because there's so much I don't understand about this. I have the lawsuit here with me that details the particulars of the contract. The K Forbes had for the disaster recovery authority. I have no idea how the government feels justified. This was the Minnis administration. How it felt justified with this contract. And we have to start understanding if we're going to get value for money. Well, Kay Smith, she does, there's no Forbes in the lawsuit, so it's just Smith. All right? It says the previous expert administration was an expert on garbage, I guess. I mean, it took them a while for it to get going, but whoever they had did perform. It says the capital of Grand Bahama is West End. In primary school in the 60s, they taught us the capitals of all the islands. Some of them will shock you, e.g. Capital Luther is not Governor's Harbor, it's Hatchet Bay a.k.a. Allistown. You know, I learned that the islands do have capitals, but I didn't notice Grand Bahamas. But I learned, my son is learning the map of the Bahamas, okay? And when you go through his geography book or social studies book or whatever it is, every island has, like, the star, which says what the capital is. I didn't see what Grand Bahama was, but I was seeing, like, Eleuthera and Acklands has a capital, Crooked Island. Let me ask a question. It sounds stupid, right? Why is the island that's not crooked called Crooked Island, but the islands that crooked is called Acklands? What happened there? Somebody help me. Why did they do that? This says, so what about vector control with all these stray dogs? We're overrun. They're going to wait until persons are really being attacked. It says, Juan, you know the government changed, so trash collectors change. Mind you, I didn't know that like that. I just noticed that there's sometimes a hiccup when governments change in terms of trash collection. But that shouldn't be something that the average person has to worry about. If their trash is going to get picked up, that's what you said the government was going to do. This is one, garbage collection is sporadic in Bacardi Road area also since the government changed. This is one, I walked by Montague Beach on Sunday morning. It was dirty with garbage all over the place. Now, in terms of the beaches, I do think that there should be contracts for the government to clean the beaches. But I also can say, you know, some of y'all are actually really nasty and leave all your trash on the beach because you think it's not your job to clean up after yourself. I see it all the time. So there's a level of personal responsibility with how the beaches look as well. This is one, a blue rat has tracking powder on it. It'll die in 5 to 10 days. Okay. Did you see the documentary about the little girl who's like from New Zealand, Australia? And she's in, I think it's Eleuthera or Exum, I can't remember. And she takes her father out every weekend to clean up the trash that Bahamians throw on the side of the road. Like a foreigner has to come and clean up after us in our own country because they recognize the beauty of it, but a lot of us don't care. Speaks volumes. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Hopefully, the audio has smoothed out and you're not having a major problem at this time. We're going to take one or two more calls and we are going to try to figure out exactly what is going on with this lawsuit that Kay Smith, the former Senate president and former head of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, has launched against the government. and it reveals quite a number of things, or let's say it raises quite a number of questions insofar as how the government actually structures these agreements and why we enter into these agreements in the way that we do. All right? And so we'll talk about that. Now, we can go to a phone call first. That's no problem. By the way, you want to guess who Kay Smith's lawyer is? I'll give you a guess. She's represented by Callenders & Co. in Freeport. Anyone want to take a swing at who the managing partner is of Callenders & Co. In Freeport? Anyone out there? It is... We're not... The audio's... You can hear the audio fine? Yeah? You're good? Oh, okay, we're good. We don't have any audio issues, so I'm told. Maybe they're gaslighting me, I don't know. But people have told me there's a problem with the audio. By the way, I'll let you marinate on who the managing partner of Callenders & Co. is in Freeport. By the way, I did call the number for environmental health that they gave me, 322-8037. They did answer after a few rings. I told them I was calling about trash collection. This is after I got a call from Melanie McKenzie. And they transferred me to the trash collection department. A Mr. Marinard answered the phone. And he asked me my details. And he said he's working on that for me today. You can thank me later, Village Road. Cash is acceptable. Also, treats, although we're not doing much sugar. For the next 2 weeks. Oh, here's the other thing I wanted to say, right? So we're doing like a six-week cut, cleanse type thing, yeah? Where I'm doing certain things, okay? That does not give you any right to watch me when I'm in the supermarket, the food store, and to watch what I'm buying and to comment on it, because I'm going to keep it real with you. I watch what you're buying too, right? But I just don't say anything because I don't know who you're buying it for. I don't want to judge you. Even though I see, you know, all the junk food. But apply the same to me, right? For two Sundays in a row, I went to go get my kids a treat. And I'm being challenged by a gentleman in the store about what I'm buying and why. And he says, it doesn't look like you're eating healthy. I'm like, how do you know who I'm buying this for? Right? I'm buying it. My kids are still eating sugar. Anyway, Fred Smith, QC, Frederick Smith, QC, is the managing partner of Callenders & Co. in Freeport. Okay? So Fred Smith is suing the government once again on behalf of K. Ford Smith. Now, I'm not mad at Fred Smith about this at all. He's only doing his job, right? Because we do insane things like how this contract appears to be structured. He sees where he can get paid, and he probably will get paid, and she'll get paid. You're probably going to have to settle with her for probably at least $500,000 if this contract is indeed set up like they say it's set up in this lawsuit. Why would you do this is my question. We're going to talk about what's in the contract, and I want to talk about the story. Why would you, A, structure a contract like this, and why is this necessary for this lucrative a contract to be struck to manage an authority that I think almost everyone in Abaco and Grand Bahama who's been adversely impacted by Hurricane Dorian will say has not performed up to expectations. And I don't know that we got value for money. The last financials we got for this authority were unaudited and contrary to what the law says. So how we judge value for money is very difficult at this point. But why we would just put all our money on the line in terms of contracts of this nature, which seem more about benefiting people who are connected to political parties than actually making meaningful contributions of our tax dollars, or applications of our tax dollars that will really get bang for your buck. But first, we'll take a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How's it going?
Well, Mr. McCartney, another thing with these government departments, I have to tell you something right now. Thursday, I went to get my pet license. Mm-hmm. And the lady told me they don't have any license in the department for animals. She say, pull out an application and they'll call me when they have some license come in for dogs, male and female, and cats. No license at all.
Really?
This department up by the training center on Gladstone Road.
There's no license for pets.
At first, they had the department up by the ship by the Prime Minister building across from the House of Assembly. They moved way in the back of the bush on Gladstone Road there by Mullins Drive.
Wow.
And she don't know when they would have license in. Now, that lady who was bitten a few weeks ago, the owner, I don't think she could sue the owner because the government didn't have no license from then.
Wow. That's crazy. But you still should have your animals under control, though. They shouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah, I got some brand new callers from my modernistic garden and brand new chains. I spent about $100 on them. And then I went down there to get them licensed. Only thing you could do down there is pull out an application and wait. They wouldn't even give you a copy of nothing to say that you are in progress of licensing your animals in case of something like that happens.
Agreed. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I'm hoping that they get that solved, because the woman who got attacked by the dogs, that was a real tragic situation. And in fact, that could have been like a small child, and that would have been a whole another kettle of fish. It says, Juan, you're the one who put your diet business out there. LOL. No, okay. Fair enough, right? You want to say, I put my diet business out there. That is true. Right? But I didn't ask you to monitor my diet. A, you don't know the circumstances of why I'm picking up what I'm picking up. So let's extrapolate this concept of I put my business out there, and so therefore it's fine for you to poke your beak into my business. So I put out there that I'm married, right? And I'm in love with my wife, and I'm enjoying our monogamous marriage. You see me having a drink or a conversation with a woman who is not my wife, and you immediately come ask me why I'm cheating on my wife, or you assume I'm cheating on my wife, it's not your place to question what it is that I'm doing, despite the fact that I explained to you I was going to be doing a particular thing. I don't know if I can make it any more clear than that. All right. Let's talk about the K. Forbes Smith issue before we get into the more into your trash issues and all this stuff like that, okay? So K. Smith is suing the government for over $400,000. Let me just read this for you so that you understand where we are, okay? This seems pretty straightforward to me. Former Disaster Reconstruction Authority Managing Director Catherine Smith is suing the government for more than $400,000 for breach of contract after she was terminated from the role last year. A writ of summons, which was dated December 21st, 2021, but only recently served, states that Smith's employment contract went into effect on December 3rd, 2019, and was due to expire on November 30th, 2023. Under the terms of that contract, the DRA agreed to pay Smith an annual salary of $110,000 in monthly installments of $9,166.66 and an annual housing allowance of $30,000 in monthly installments of $2,500. So I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop right there. All right? And you're going to come at me with all sorts of different things that want to make sense of this. Doesn't she live in the Bahamas? Correct? Isn't there a disaster recovery? She lives in Grand Bahama, right? Isn't there a disaster recovery authority office in Grand Bahama? Yes, that's where everyone who was looking for the building supplies, XYZ, the vouchers, that's where they went, correct? What's the housing allowance for? I'm confused. Now, if you're going to say to me, well, Juan, Peter Turnquest was the Minister of Finance, and he lived in Grand Bahama, but he had to be in Nassau, the Ministry of Finance, on a day-to-day basis, and he was also given a housing allowance or had his housing paid for, I would say, well, that's different, isn't it? Right? So although the DRA would involve some travel, does that require $30,000 a year to cover housing? What housing? Since March 2020, the majority of government work has been done virtually. What housing? Why $30,000 a year? That is, I don't mind telling you, more than my mortgage. And if you're going to say to me, well, Juan, the governor general also gets a housing allowance because they're spending whatever, how many millions of dollars to fix government house, which I think should be dismantled and sold for scrap. But, you know, that's not my decision. I'm going to say, okay, fair enough. That's a lot of money for the governor general's housing as well. And I don't think that that is necessarily justified. The story continues. It also agreed our government, by the way, in the form of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, which came directly under the office of the Prime Minister, it also agreed to an annual duty allowance of $15,000 in monthly installments of $1,250 and a monthly fuel allowance of $250. I'm assuming, since this is normally what happens in government, that included a vehicle as well. Doesn't stop there. At the end of the contract, Smith was to receive a 15% gratuity of the sum received under the contract. Okay, so let's do this, right? Let's look at the sum she received under the contract. And at the end, you get a 15% sweetener, right? Just for completing the contract. The pay wasn't sufficient, okay? So this is $110,000. We don't pay income tax in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So $110,000 for 4 years. That's $440,000. So this just says the sum of the contract. So I'm gonna include for my purposes the housing allowance, which is $30,000 times 4 years, plus the $440,000 in salary. So that's $560,000 plus the $60,000 over 4 years for duty allowance. All right. Plus the $250 a month, that's about $3,000 a year. Are we going to throw the $12,000? Let's just say $10,000, $600,000. So let's say $630,000 would be the sum she received on the contract. So you get a gratuity of $94,500 if that's indeed how the gratuity works. All right, so $630,000 plus $94,000 is $725,000 for managing the Disaster Reconstruction Agency Authority, the Disaster Reconstruction Authority for 4 years, you would get almost $750,000 under this contract. We're not done with the terms of the contract. Let's continue. According to the lawsuit, at the end of that contract, I read that part, the 15%. This says, while she was required to give 6 months' notice of her intent to terminate the contract prior to the expiration, the contract made no provision for the Disaster Reconstruction Authority to terminate the contract before it expired. Now, let me say this, and again, I'm not mad at Kay Smith for signing this contract, for taking that job. I'll keep it 100 with you. I was going to take it too. If in 4 years I could earn $750,000 and had a contract that did not allow the other party that offered the contract to cancel that contract at all, there's no exit clause, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, which just goes contrary to everything I understand about contract law in the Bahamas, I would sign it too. So I get to give 6 months' notice if I want to get out of the contract, but there's no way for the government to get out of the contract without paying me. So I'll say this, and this is not a reflection of anything about Kay Smith or anyone involved, right? It should be illegal for the government to issue contracts like that without an exit clause. That is a gross wastage of our money. It makes absolutely no sense. If someone is not performing up to the standard of the contract, by all means, the party that offered the contract should be able to get out of that contract. Maybe there's a penalty, but you don't write a contract without any exit clause. That is just basic employment policy. Who does that besides the government of the Bahamas? Does any private entity out here, because it's not the government's money, it's your money and my money, so, you know, let's set it on fire. Who does that? Who writes a contract to employ someone without any possibility of the employer being able to cancel the contract? How does that work? So not only is this a contract worth, from my estimation, about $750,000 over 4 years, it is a contract which the government has bound the public treasury to at the whim of the person that is employed by the public treasury. I don't understand. Let me finish the story just to wrap this up in terms of what the lawsuit says. The suit claims that at all material times, Ms. Smith properly and competently performed her duties and obligations as required under the contract. I'd like to see the contract duties outlined. Unfortunately, I don't have the contract. This was communicated, it says, on or around September 29th, 2021, the DRA, in breach of the contract, purported to terminate the contract effective immediately. It says this was communicated to Ms. Smith by letter from the Office of the Prime Minister dated September 29th, 2021. The DRA has wrongly terminated the contract 26 months before the expiration date. In so doing, it has acted in breach of the contract. By way of damages for the aforementioned breach, Ms. Smith is entitled to a contractual sum for termination of her employment in breach of the contract in an amount equal to her salary and benefits for the unexpired term of the contract. Smith claims $408,333.16 in contractual damages against the DRA. That would include 26 months of monthly salary at $238,333.16, housing allowance of $65,000, duty allowance of $32,500, fuel allowance of $6,500, and the gratuity that Smith would have been entitled to at the end of the contract, $66,000. Okay, this says $66,000. So are we just going off the amount of salary for the contract? Let me see something. 110 times 4. Hold on, let me get my calculator. Times 4. It's 440,000 times 15% equals 66. Okay, so the gratuity was just a salary, so about $66,000. So we're really looking at about $700,000 total value for the contract, of which they say $408,000 is outstanding. She's also looking for interest accrued from the date she received the letter in November. November, is it? No, September. September 29th, 2021. She is also seeking any additional relief the court may deem justified and legal costs. You can peg legal costs from Fred Smith and Calendars & Co. on this one, probably upwards of $150,000. So again, I'm not mad at her for signing this contract. I'm not mad at her for suing. If the contract you sign says there's no possible way for the employer to terminate your contract, how does that work? Some of my lawyer friends out there, explain it to me. Would you ever advise any of your clients who sought to employ anyone that they should draft a contract in which only the employee has the right to terminate the contract? Could no one advise our government better than that? This went through all the legal channels of our government, and they said it was okay for the contract to have no exit clause, knowing that we would have to pay the entire amount of the contract. I don't understand why we do this with our money. I don't understand, firstly, again, I'm not mad at her, I don't understand why you need someone to be paid $110,000 and have a monthly housing allowance of $2,500 in gratuity. I don't understand why all that is necessary to have the Disaster Reconstruction Authority functioning. Because last I checked, the minister with responsibility for the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, which would have been Iram Lewis and then Pakisha Parker Edgecombe, didn't pull down this kind of pay with their cabinet minister's salary and their parliamentary salary combined. Couldn't like a PS or like a former PS come do this job for a reasonable amount? Like, when I think of permanent secretaries, I think of, like, Jack Thompson, Carl Smith, who you can put, like, almost anywhere in their function. Like, Jack Thompson could do anything, all right? So I'm convinced Jack Thompson can adequately do any job you put him to do. And he's, like, the model public servant who understands policy, who understands procedure. He can go from like director of immigration, all right, to like being in charge of Government House flawlessly. You saw how he carried on with the opening of Parliament recently. That was solid, I won't lie. Why does this way? I don't get it. A, B, do we really feel the Disaster Reconstruction Authority lived up to its potential? Because from my conversations with people in Abaco and people in Grand Bahama, it didn't. I don't understand why we do this, and I don't understand why our governments play games with our money this way. There's no way. And I'm all for, hey, man, follow employment law, severance, all this, right? But when you start just drafting contracts that are in the interest of the people you're employing over the interest of the people who are pouring their tax dollars into the treasury to pay this stuff, I got a problem with it. Again, I'm not mad at her or Fred Smith. I'm mad that the government actually issued this contract. It doesn't make any sense to me. And maybe I'm naive, and maybe I don't understand how these things should work in law, but that seems bonkers to me to issue a contract this lucrative for a bureaucratic position, which there's no way, apparently, for you to get out of it. It makes no sense to me. That's just me. All right, so that's the essence of what we could see the lawsuit reveals about the contract. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And if this is the case, then I see no way that we're not going to get the messy end of the stick on this one. It says, didn't she resign? No, she didn't resign. The government told her that her job was ended. I don't know if they... I don't know if they considered what's happening. Yeah. It says, on or around September 29th, the DRA, in breach of the contract, purported to terminate the contract effective immediately. So I got to ask the question. And again, I'm not... This is the public's money, so I'm entitled to ask. What are the rest of the people of the DRA making? And do they all have contracts like this? And I would ask why. Anyway, let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, McCartney. First time caller.
Oh, thanks for calling.
I lately have been interested in stocks, and so I've been listening to you about downtown investment.
Mm-hmm.
And I need the name of the people that's doing that investment, so I could probably, you know, get involved with that.
Yeah, it's CFAL.
Spell it for me?
CFAL.
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 Oh,
yeah.
One other question.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I was also getting involved because I Googled, and then a poor trader answered me and told me I could get involved in some trades with crude oil and stuff. And we are at the point where they're asking me for my credentials, like bank account and passports and stuff and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, I want to ask you, is Four Trader legal before I do all of this? Do you know anything about Four Trader? I think they're out of Australia or someplace in the Middle East.
My brother, I don't know who that is, and so I'm going to tell you like this, right?
Uh-huh.
Go to the Securities and Exchange Commission of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and make sure that whoever you are seeking to do business with is accredited through the Securities Commission of the Bahamas, as well as, I would say, the central bank, although they don't always have to go to the central bank, before you give any information to anybody. That would be my advice to you.
Okay, and I have to go to the office and check it out? Like
you
online.
Can call the Securities Commission, and you can ask them about it, or you could look it up online. But I would double-check very carefully who that is and see if they're accredited through the Securities and Exchange Commission, and if they're approved by the central bank to conduct business in foreign exchange. In the Bahamas. And if not, I wouldn't fool with it if I were you, but you got to seek the advice of a financial professional. That's what the guys at CFAL do. That's not what I do. But I would vet that very carefully before I give out any of my information, if I were you.
Okay, well, let's go back to CFAL. These people, you have to pay them when they do things, like you have to pay them a fee, or they get a fee from the earnings of the trade?
You normally would pay them fees. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Be very careful with your money, all right? Watch who you give your bank account information to. It's a very different situation from giving your debit card information to somebody, which I'd be careful about that as well. But be very careful, particularly when people are asking you to make trades. Be careful about all these things, all right? We got a phone call. Let's go to a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Just, I had several points I wanted to make on the discussion with the DRA.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You asked a question earlier, what kind of government would enter a contract under these terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
A corrupt, non-caring, non-transparent, non-accountable government who doesn't care about vehement people, who doesn't care about performance, who only cares about enriching their friends, family, and lovers. That's the kind of government that would enter this kind of contract one. Secondly, without calling any names, and I stress that, I think you would recall a case that was ruled on in similar fashion recently by the Supreme Court, where the judge, the Supreme Court justice, literally stated that it is illegal within itself to enter into this kind of contract. You recall what I'm talking about?
I don't, but go ahead. Maybe my memory will be refreshed. Continue.
Oh, okay, it had to do with one of the authorities in the country.
Okay.
That we have to drive on in order to get from one part of the island to the next.
Okay.
Right. And so one, it is ultra virus to labor laws in this country. Just on the further end of a discussion, it is ultra virus to enter such a contract that does not allow the employer's provisions to exit the contract, right? And so that, I'm curious how the government will get, the person whose contract was terminated will get over that standard in any court of law in this country, especially considering the precedent that was set with the recent ruling at the Supreme Court level involving another very high-level senior person who was employed by government, whose terms of their contract.
So, and I'm sorry, Anton, this is a case that has been litigated through the courts?
Yeah.
So why are you not calling the names? I don't want to play guessing games. Just tell me what it is. If it's a court matter, go ahead.
There was a case involving the Bridge Authority.
Okay, great.
Involving the Bridge Authority recently. That was recently ruled on, I think, in December of 2020.
Okay, I do remember that. Yes, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the judge gave some very strong remarks in her ruling, right? It was a female justice who gave very strong remarks in her ruling. And this matter involving the former executive chair of the DRA is very similar in nature when you look at the fact that the contract itself is also violates the labor laws.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that one, on top of that, this contract demonstrates that you had a previous, and I think it's very important to state that it was the incompetent authority, Hubert Minnis, whose government entered into this contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important because you would have stated that your government entered into this contract.
Okay.
I think we need to put more specificity on who entered into this kind of contract. But one, it is scary to think that if they can enter this kind of contract with someone who had to resign their seat in the Senate as the Senate president in order to take up this created post, right? If they can enter this or design this kind of contract, you could just imagine one, what all other kinds of contracts they have going on throughout the entire civil service.
But let me ask you a question here, Anton.
Uh-huh.
With the Bridge Authority case, wasn't that person hired under the Christie administration?
It doesn't matter, Juan. That's the point that I'm making. It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter which government enters an incorrect contract. The fact of the matter is the court of law saw through the evidence and they gave a compelling ruling at the end of the day that still exists on the books because it was not challenged to this date, to my memory. Okay. And so I'm saying that to say, one, a standard has been set by the Supreme Court in our country that you cannot nilly-willy, even as a government, enter into contracts that are ultra virus to laws in our country, labor laws in our country, such as this one with the DRA. Now, to my mind, on the side of Fred Snakusi, an attorney that I have great respect for his legal prowess and his abilities to secure positive outcomes for his clients. He's going to get paid either way, one, right? And this is an opportunity for him, in my opinion, to just tickle the hair of the government, right? But to my mind, this case makes absolutely no sense, one. And I'll end with this point, one. Mm-hmm. As it relates to entering into contracts and the value of contracts in this country, it's not to say that a cabinet minister will make more than a technical or a technocrat, a technical person in the civil service or in a corporation. That is not the case, one. Specialized skills, specially created positions, you would find the world over, makes far more money than any government servant or any elected member of parliament or cabinet minister one. You would find that is the case.
But what specialized skill does the former Senate president have in managing a disaster reconstruction authority?
Don't get me wrong, one. I'm not saying she possessed any specialized skills. I'm not saying she was best suited for that job. I'm not even saying that she was effective in performing her duties, because as the record reflects, those persons on Abaco and on Grand Bahama got very little assistance. They got the exemptions taken away from them for a long period of time. They were getting minimum assistance that could not even help them to get anywhere near where they needed to go in terms of moving forward with their lives. And they're still left with the infrastructure not in place. They, as a matter of fact, have the domes even been erected by the time the elections were called? No, they weren't. You had a whole show on that. And so I'm not, don't get it mixed up what I'm explaining, Juan, because I did not say she was an effective person. All I'm saying to you is, as a professional performing a duty, there should be no salary and no benefits that is too good for any Bohemian to reap in our country, provided it's suited for the job that they're seeking to perform or that they're being called on to perform. But at the end of the day, Juan, this case, to my mind, just based on what exists on the record, and you could do some research on the Bridge case, it's ultra virus to labor laws in our country, and it represents that of a crooked, corrupt, filthy, lying government that, thank God, the likes of them are gone out of our parliament in terms of leadership, because some of them still around.
You know, again, this isn't the place to call people those sorts of pejorative terms. You can make your point across without all that. It says, please correct, Anton. The fundamental rule of contract law is caveat emptor. Caveat emptor means buyer beware, right? It says, so the parties to a contract must safeguard themselves against any prejudicial terms in the contract. The law does not legislate what people can contract to, except in those cases where those contracts are deemed immoral or against public policy. The government not securing an exit clause in the contract meets neither of those thresholds. That may very well be true. You sound like you know the law much better than I do, right? And I get it. Caveat emptor, buyer beware. However, I think it should be public policy that the government of the Bahamas does not enter into contracts that have these insane exit clauses or no exit clauses whatsoever. I don't think it's in the public interest. That's just me. But you may be perfectly right, and Anton is not correct. All right? It says, one, the gratuity is not a sweetener for finishing the contract, but is intended to compensate for not having a pension. Also, allowances are not included in that calculation is based on salary. That's fine. Not having a pension? I'm sorry. What that got to do with me and my tax money? If you want a pension, there are any number of private pension funds that you can take the money you've earned from your government salary and invest in. Why is it on the taxpayer to provide you with an alternative to a pension that you should be investing in on your own anyway? I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's all perfectly legal. Lots of things are legal that I don't think make sense. All right, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about you online.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you're giving out free drinks. And I'm a mom with 12 children. I love free drinks.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are y'all giving out so?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could y'all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside you. Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our already low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
New Bahamas, welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We were talking about the contract that was entered into. I'm less mad about the lawsuit, although I probably would have sued too if I were her, than I am about why we enter into these sorts of contracts as a government. You're not going to get me to buy in. I had a room full of labor leaders here with me. Was it last Labor Day? I think it was, right? And they were talking about this thing where they want the government to guarantee that the public purse is going to fund pensions for all workers. I'm sorry, I don't believe in that. There's no amount of legal precedent you're going to cite for me that makes me think that that makes sense. The non-contributory government pension and permanent, pensionable and permanent scheme, or whatever it's called, served a purpose for maybe 30 years or so, And then it just became an exercise in government largesse. And it needs to structurally change. And I'm not crazy or alone in that. That's been said by numerous ministers of this administration, or several ministers of this administration, and several former members of the several members of the former administration, as well as this current administration. All right. So I don't believe in the gratuity because you don't have a pension. That ain't my problem. All right. And that sounds cold, but it's a cold world out there. Because I don't get no government pension. I have to contribute to my pension. If I don't contribute, I don't get it. So you're going to have to explain to me why we're having four-year contracts and you get some substitute for a pension on top of your contract. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I don't care how long they've been doing it. We got a phone call? Sure. Let's go. So the contract's worth approximately $700,000. I don't get it. That's just me. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No? Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I think the government has went into arbitration and give a 1 year salary, $110,000. All extra perks, she ain't working no more. She need no more housing. They should have sat down with her, offer her 1 year, $110,000. Now the legal fee is gonna kick in. This arbitration is best. But minutes sign off, 1 more year of minutes, we'd been in big trouble. Like that Paris Island land deal. Like ministers, like he had good common sense. It's like she sit down and she wrote this. Like this is sweet. Hey, what do I mean by duty? I mean, is she allowed to bring things in?
Yeah, you get a duty allowance. That's also sort of like a thing they give you in lieu of salary, like a duty allowance, like parliamentarians get it, cabinet ministers get it.
So when you work with customs, with all them bags, they free.
You get an extra duty allowance, yeah.
See? I mean, that's sweet. Yeah. You go to Miami shopping, or you don't pay nothing.
Well, they give you the cash on your salary, as far as I'm aware.
I mean, like, yeah. It's like, I guess, ministers sign off on anything. He just sign. He don't be aware of. I see why them seven MPs turn on him. He is inept of his duty to prime minister. One more year of him, we'd have been gone. Okay, Warren, thanks.
Okay.
One more of him. Hello?
Yep. Okay, thanks, man. This says, Juan, here's what's going to happen. Government will settle with Ms. Smith, and she will still come away with a good payday. Possibly. I mean, they could choose to fight it, I suppose. Doesn't make a ton of... Well, I don't know. That's for Ryan Pinder and others to figure out. This says, McCartney is Ms. Black getting the same contract... Who? Oh, Nahaja. Listen. Don't wash Nahaja money, okay? We're talking about the former head of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. I don't know what Nahaja, if you're getting $110,000 a year and $30,000 to your housing allowance, I'm happy. I'm happy for you, my love. I'm happy, my dear, that you're doing that. You deserve every penny. And some. This is one. While I think it's an outrageous contract, I honestly hesitate to comment because I work for the government and make less than $30,000 per year. So you make less than the housing allowance she was getting. About 3 weeks ago, I saw a job offering in the U.S. with the identical duties that I'm performing now. The starting salary was $95,000 per annum. Now I know why Bahamians are either leaving or not returning home. You know, I found an interesting article online about, and kind of informs me as to why so many nurses are leaving, because the United States government doubled the amount of visas for health professionals that they were allowing around the world, and they, according to the article, reduced the requirements to get the visa. It says, duty allowance isn't to do with customs, it's a cash payment on salary. Yeah, that's what I always understood it to be. So I guess people say duty and customs and confuse the two. I don't know. I always understood it as you get cash on top of your salary. This says, That kind of salary and perks for disaster recovery management, it's insane. It says, please reveal the contracts for the three journalists hired by the PLP. Three journalists? You got an addition problem, eh? Three? I can think of about a dozen journalists the current administration has hired. Several of them come from this organization. We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Yeah, let's do the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, how you doing, Ron?
I'm great. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I listened to Anton a while ago talking a bunch of crap.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. What Bartram Bethel, what did he get when the FNM came into power? Wasn't his term was for like almost 2 years?
Sir Bartram Bethel worked under the Christie administration.
Yes, he was. They say he was a consultant to Christie.
Yeah, senior advisor.
Before the general election, Christie had signed a new contract for him.
Right.
Yeah. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
See, because Antoine probably memory thought a little shabby, you know, and I think that was millions of dollars. That was probably $200,000-$300,000. That was millions.
Well, here's the thing.
And we accepted it. You know why? Because that's what we do. We accepted all these cronies getting these big-time jobs. And you know you're going to be out of power in 4 years or 5 years. Why the hell? These government and ministers do a lot of foolishness. And some of the things, I wish I could have really put him in a ring. He always tell him, Brave Davis, come over and cut off the leg. I would really like to put something on him, too. Because he do a lot of foolishness. Because that what that woman was getting... She was not qualified for that job.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not mad at her. Because here's the thing. I expect people to do what's in their personal financial interest. And so if the government is going to pay me $100,000 a year and a housing allowance and XYZ and 15% of it at the end of the contract and build no exit clause into the contract and it's in my financial interest, I'm going to sign it. Right? But I don't expect the government to not take the best interests of the public finances into consideration when they're drafting these contracts and to not have an exit clause despite whatever legal precedent exists is bad policy on behalf of the government, in my opinion. All right? It may not be illegal. I think it should be against public policy. I think we should try to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen. It makes absolutely no sense to me. All right? So I'm not mad at her. If I'm signing the government contract, I'm going to get everything I can get too. I'm not mad at any journalist who's gone and working for the government. Do what's in your financial interests. But at the end of the day, though you want to recruit the best people into the public service and into the service of the country, you still have to keep the interests of the public's taxpayer dollars in mind at all times. Okay? That's my opinion. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Me, I would love us to no longer draft contracts that don't have exit clauses for the employer. Perhaps I'm a dreamer. That's going to do it for the show today. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. You guys take care out there. Z Live Off the Records next. You guys have a great day, Bahamas.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, and the Digital Transformation Unit.